Good morning once again. Hope everybody's doing well this morning with our singing together and our praying together and our fellowship together. It's been great as usual. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to mark that, that's going to be our main scripture for this morning. We're going to continue in our study on We Are the Church, on different aspects of being the church. Before I go into that, while you're looking that up, I want to make a point, and maybe it's already been mentioned, but I want to make sure it was mentioned about Justin and his wife and their situation. Most people don't realize that he hasn't seen his wife for 2 years. After they got married, and she hasn't been able to come back here for 2 years, so it's been a long time since he's seen her, and they got some decisions to make for their family and for their life that they really need to be together for. So that's my concern for him and my prayer for him. And I think we'll be able to be the church and assist him in that. So be in prayer about that also as we do what we need to do for him and encourage him along the way. All right, here we are. Last week, we looked at some excuses that turned out to be excuses that people would use and still do use for not being a part of the church or coming to church or attending church or getting involved with the body of Christ. If you'll remember, there was a few statements that we read and what people think in their mind or what their ideas are about the church and the congregations that call themselves Christians. And I hope that we were able to see things in a different light to where we can go into the world and make disciples and help them or at least offer them a different idea about what it means to be a part of the church and be around the church. And it's not just about coming to church, but participating in the body of Christ and being a part of what work is going on. However, I don't remember if I mentioned this, but I want to mention it again. There are plenty of people who love the Lord and are saved that are unable to get to the church and be a part of the church, right? So whatever was said in that message was not applying to them, because those people, a lot of those people, really desire to be a part of the church in a certain way and just unable to. However, those people and many people, all of us, one of the most important parts of being the congregation, the body of Christ, the church, is prayer, if it's not the most important part. The most valuable thing you can do for someone else is pray. If you don't do anything else, if we're praying, we're doing some powerful things. Doesn't mean don't do anything else, it just means start there, right? So just want to make that statement, because now we're going to talk about what it means to be members of the church, right? A lot of church congregations, a lot of groups of people that call themselves Christians. There is what used to be known as, and still sometimes is known as, the membership role. Some even still put it on the board, how many attended church, and there's some of them have a book that lists all the members of have put their membership in the church. And I think over the years, maybe some confusion has happened in the minds of the believers and in the minds of the congregations as to what it means to be a member of the church, right? And maybe lost sight of what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. So we need to look at the word membership and what it means to be a member, so we all are on the same page as believers, and so that we have the best understanding that God wants us to have of what our role is in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, for His glory, right? That's what we want, right? Y'all in agreement with that? This is a Sunday morning. This is one of those Sundays where it's okay to say amen every now and then, just so you know, all right? So here we are. We're talking about membership. We're going to read a few parts of Scripture, all right? Now, there's memberships in, like, golf clubs, right? There's membership in when we bought this RV back here, and I went down there to buy parts at the RV store. Every time I went to buy something, they're like, "We want to be a member of the RV club." Every time, I'm like, "I just want to pay you for my stuff. I'm going to leave. I don't want to." I don't want to be a member of that, but it comes with benefits. Every time there's somebody offers you some kind of membership, it's because they're offering you some kind of a benefit to be a part of that group. And in that regard, being a member of the body of Christ has its benefits, doesn't it? But we need to understand that we're not becoming members of the church the body of Christ so that we can have benefits. We're becoming members of the body of Christ because we are receiving grace from God because we've sinned against Him. We're not even entitled to our membership because of our sins, right? So we're in awe of our Lord because we have been extended this place in the body of Christ, even though we don't belong there based on our behavior toward our Lord. But we're there because what? Because He loves us and wants us to be there. So what I want to do is read a little bit of scripture to start with. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then starting in verse 14 to 27, and then we'll go through a few points and I'll try to be done on time. Why is that so funny? Why is that so funny? Okay, every time I get a sarcastic amen, I'm just going to start from the beginning and go, I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. Chapter 12, verse 14, and we're going to start there. Now the body is made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts of the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. And then here we are in verse 25. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And then finally in verse 27, now you who are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. All right? So that, all of that is Paul's sarcastic way of saying something that everybody already knew. Right? You can't say you can do without the heart, because the heart is what keeps you alive. It's the way God designed it. You might be able to do without your eyes, but you would suffer because God knows that you need those. Right? So we need the parts of our body to exist and to do things in what we would know as a normal way of existing. Just in the same way, the body of Christ cannot exist without all the parts of the body, which is what we talked about last week, right? You can't be a part of the church, you can't be saved, you can't be a believer if you're not actually a part of the body of Christ. And that's why sometimes when I'm out talking to people, when I get a chance, I try to explain to them, the church needs you just as much as you need the church. Because if we're all the time out there saying you need to go to church, something wrong with you if you don't go to church, that's not going to be received. We human beings, we have this need inside our hearts and in our minds to be needed, to be useful, to be a part of something. Usually we have a desire to be a part of something bigger than us. If we really look at it like that. That's why we always want to be a part of the winning team. Right? One day y'all will be wearing Alabama jerseys because you'll get it. Except for you, Auburn fan. We'll talk about that later. Y'all see where we're going here. It's not about, I want to be a member of Oak Grove Christian Church so I can have ownership in that building or in that place or have a say in what goes on. It's, I want to come to Oak Grove Christian Church and be a member of the body of Christ there and participate in that way. Because God has led me to do that. Each person in this room, and some that aren't able to be here because they're traveling or whatever, are sick. God has brought us together, this group of people, to be this congregation, this particular part of the body of Christ. Isn't that great to think of it that way? And every single one of us has value to God, and we should have value to one another. So what, as members, now that we understand what God says membership is about, right? Then what does that mean for us? Because membership comes with responsibilities. I just kind of got hooked up with a group of people that kind of retired law enforcement emergency personnel, and they try to do good things like help out in disasters and stuff like that. And then they do recreational stuff, and they take kids hunting. And it's a way for the retired guys who used to serve in that way to be involved still and still serve. And you can pay for a membership. And in their agreement, it says, we would like for you to agree to attend one meeting every so often and participate when you can. So there's requirements, there's responsibilities that you agree to. And this is where people, when they want to get saved, they say, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, because they don't want to go to hell and they want to go to heaven. Well, there's a whole bunch more to know about when it comes to committing to Christ, to receiving Christ, to becoming a disciple of Christ, right? That nobody ever investigates. And that's why it's our job as the church, the body of Christ, to disciple them and disciple one another so that we can be aware of our responsibilities when we commit to being His, when we surrender to God and say, I'm yours, you do with me what you please. You ever said that prayer? Hope you have. If you're saved, I hope you have, right? That means whatever God says He wants to do with us as believers, how He wants to use us, even if it scares the daylights out of us and takes us into somebody else's comfort zone and completely leaves our comfort zone, we should be ready and willing to go with Him, right? And praise Him all the way through. So here's a few things we're going to talk about. And I think the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about different points in regards to our responsibilities as members of the body of Christ. So here's number one, responsibility. He's like, come on, just get to the next slide, right? Because you know every time I click a slide, we're closer to going home. Okay. Here's number one, responsibility. We have a responsibility to act in love toward each other. Because we can't love God if we don't love one another. So we look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, and he says, so then we pursue the things which for peace and the building up of one another. So everybody in the room, look around real quick and see, you already know each other, but just look around so you can put your eyeballs on them in this thought. You are responsible for praying for and encouraging and supporting and everything else when it comes to loving those people in the room. Right? And nowhere in the scripture does it say, unless they hurt my feelings. Or accept those that don't agree with me, right? God says just love people. Love me and love people, period. We are the ones who put a list of exceptions onto that because of how we feel or what we think, what we want, and then we find ourselves out of line with our commitment to God as members of the body of Christ. So our desire is to ask God to help us to get there so that we can be His, truly His disciples, and we can be members of the body of Christ. Romans chapter 15 verse 5 says, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. The same mind. None of us in this room think the same way. Some of y'all know that because you've talked to me for a little bit of time, and you probably leave and you're like, what in the world is he thinking about? And I get it. You know, every decision that we make for whatever God has us do in this world for Him, in our ministry together, we're going to have different ideas. We're going to have thoughts. We're going to have ways to do things. But in the end, if we pray about everything and genuinely seek the Lord in everything, The same God that loves me is the same God that loves you. The same God that gave me His Spirit to live in my life and then live in my heart and guide me is the same Holy Spirit that does the same for you. The same Jesus that died on the cross for my forgiveness is the same Jesus that died for you. And if we're all talking to the same God about the same task, wouldn't we come to the same conclusion eventually? And we would be like-minded. That's membership in the body of Christ. Yeah? And we all say, and I'm telling you, I'm going to come down here and say this, because we all say amen, right? Because that makes sense. But I'm just as guilty as anybody else when I'm like, yeah, we don't want to do it that way. Just because I got my idea and it's good and I don't think it should change. We struggle with this, even though we want to get along, we want to be like-minded, but we struggle. Because we all are human beings and we really love the Lord and we really have great ideas. And we really are passionate about serving God. But relating to one another is one of our biggest challenges. Isn't it? Say yes. So that's why we need Jesus, y'all. That's why we need the Lord. Because we can't do this on our own. There's no way we can honor God without God. Praise God for that. So here we are, number two, another responsibility, put your seatbelts on. And be careful with this. The next responsibility is to refuse to gossip. Notice on the top of the bulletin up there, at the top of your screen, it says protecting the unity of the body of Christ as well as the unity at Oak Grove Christian Church. That's the responsibility that we're talking about, and these points are how we do that. I don't know about you. There are people in the world, believers and non-believers, who are what would be considered gossips. That's all they do is gossip. And then there's others that fall into the trap of gossip. They may not be gossips, their personality, but they, every now and then they fall into the trap of gossip, gossiping, the act of. And then there's even yet others that have somehow sinned in this way. But it's not a regular thing for them. I guess that's my long way of saying we can all be guilty of this, and maybe all have been at one time or another. And this gossip business is an abomination to our God because it's the direct opposite of loving people. Right? Anybody who's ever been gossiped about, anytime you've ever been the victim of that, it is destructive, isn't it? It is painful, and it doesn't do anything at all but destroy lives and dishonors God. It's the number one weapon that Satan uses to divide the body of Christ. Right? Now, I'm not coming down on y'all. I'm trying to be serious so that we understand the seriousness of what's going on here, because we need to protect the unity of the body of Christ and protect the unity of our congregation so that we can honor God in everything that happens here. And if you're from East Carolina, East Carolina University are the Pirates. And their big thing is what Pirates say is no quarter to the enemy. That's what Pirates say. That means we're not taking prisoners because we're not feeding them and we're not supporting them. No place for the enemy to lay his head in my heart. And if gossip is a part of my heart, then I've let Satan come in. And then my biggest prayer in ministry as a preacher is to not become the problem in the church. Not become the point of division amongst the believers. And if any preacher believes that won't happen to them, all they got to do is do a little bit of research and find some other preachers out there that have done everything and anything, intentionally or not, to divide the congregation. So just because you got some kind of calling in your life and you're doing something special for God doesn't mean that you can't fall into the trap of being divisive in the body of Christ. And it doesn't love God and it doesn't love people. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 to 32 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for what? For edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He's reminding them of their salvation. He's reminding them of the God that lives within them, the blessing of all of that. Basically saying, don't slap the Holy Spirit in the face by the way that you communicate with people or about people. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Malice is the condition of the heart. Malice is another word for hate, probably worse than hate. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Short way of saying all of this is ask God to help you see everybody in your life, everybody in the church, everybody in the body of Christ, the way God sees them. Not the way I see you, because I'm a human being just like you, and we have a habit of picking out the fault of everybody we see. Sometimes on purpose, and sometimes it's just the way we are. But if our prayer is, God, help me see everybody the way you want me to see everybody in the situations of everyday life, every time we get in together, and help me have words to say that are contributing to the benefit and the lifting up of the body and the success of the body of Christ, help me be that. Otherwise, help me keep my mouth shut. Because we're human beings and we need Jesus. Because we fail at this, right? So we need to help each other and pray for each other. And then when we come across that gossip or that person that's fallen into this trap, we don't walk around saying, oh, they're a gossip. That person's a gossip. Because guess what? Now you're just as guilty as they are. Yeah? Instead, we just pray. We ask God to help. We ask God, if there's a way for me to help that person, let's do it. Love that person until they stop being a gossip. The best way to shut gossip down is to not listen to it. And the second best way to shut gossip down is to not repeat it. Right? Gossips will only talk to the people that will listen to them. There's nothing wrong with talking about people and about situations. It's how you are talking about them and what your purposing behind it is. Everybody good with that? Are we ready to move on? I'm ready to move on. It's hard to discuss, but it's serious. Next thing, responsibility. We have a responsibility to protect the unity of the body of Christ and protect the unity here at Oak Grove Christian Church by following our leaders. We talked about this last week. It was the closing part of our sermon last week. Following the leaders of the congregation or whatever congregation God leads you to be a part of. Wherever God assigns you, wherever God moves you to, you're surrendering to God's leadership that he's built there. He put that in place. In fact, whenever, I'm assuming that's the way it was done in the past here, and we're going to continue to do it, whenever somebody does enter into leadership because of God's calling, we all as a congregation of believers agree with God that that person is called. So why wouldn't we trust that person to seek the Lord? Why wouldn't we pray for that person to be seeking the Lord and receive what God has for them to lead us and encourage us? Why wouldn't we encourage that person? Why would we always question that person? Why would we question every decision? Why would we talk about them? Why would we blame them for everything? See? It's God's people. Whatever, anybody who's in a position of leadership, like even in a ministry of the church, whatever ministry efforts we're doing and somebody takes the lead on that, we need to pray for them and we need to seek the Lord for their guidance and we need to support them and encourage them. Hold them accountable, right? Because leaders can go astray and leaders can destroy. But it's God's, this is what God's doing, so we need to fall in line with that so that we are united in Christ. Because if we are not united in Christ and we all go out these doors every week and go into our world and we put out whatever witness we think we're putting out and all our witnesses don't match each other, nobody's going to follow us. Nobody's going to follow Christ because of us. They're going to say, well, there's some people over there that go to this church and they act different than these people over there that go to the same church. They don't even believe the same thing. And they don't even like each other because look how they talk about each other. That's not this church, by the way. I know that's not this church. I'm just telling you, that's what the body of Christ does sometimes to each other. And that's why people get confused and that's why they're saying, I don't want to go to church because I don't want to be like those people. We need to put out the different witness so that we have opportunity to honor God in the right way. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct and imitate their faith. So that's some information for the leaders of the church, that we have a responsibility to be the example and encourage one another, right? But we also need to support the leaders so that they can be successful in what God has called them to do. There was a professional football team who was coached by Herman Edwards. Anybody know who that is? Yeah. Kansas City Chief, right? Here's what he said. He said, when it comes to his thoughts on teamwork, he said, the players that play on this football team will play for the name on the side of the helmet, not the name on the back of the jersey. Make sense? And I read another book. And this guy in this book, his last name, his name is John Johnson. It was a book that I read in Cincinnati Christian University. And he was talking about one of these leaders and conquerors, Alexander, God had conquered half of the world or more, right? And there was another soldier in his army whose name also was Alexander. But he was like messing up bad. Like, he was not doing what he was supposed to do, and he was, like, making a fool out of himself and everybody around him. And he was in Alexander's army. And Alexander sent for this man to be brought to him, right? And he came to Alexander, and Alexander said, if you're not going to act the way you should act in this army, then you should change your name. Because they had the same name. Do not represent me if you're not going to act the way I want you to act. Now, let's put those two things together. If we're going to put Christian on the side of our building, God's building, if we're going to put Christian in our name, if we're going to walk around saying, I'm a Christian, if we're going to talk about the Christian life, we need to act the way Christ wants us to act. Or we need to change our name. Right? Make sense? So this is how we protect the unity of the body of Christ. The witness of the entire body of Christ around the world, we have a responsibility to protect that. That means we should not do anything to damage or to put out the poor witness that other congregations will pay for. A lot of times preachers get together and have coffee and talk and try to solve the world's problems and whatever. And every now and then something will happen in the world where a preacher falls from grace and it becomes public and the whole world knows it. And the ones who are looking for excuses, they'll point at them and say, see, that's why I don't go to church, because all the preachers are crooked. And then every preacher who is doing well in honoring God will pay for that. So we have a responsibility to protect that in the church, protect the witness of the kingdom of God. Why? Not just so we can say we're great and that we're right and that the Bible's right, so that people will genuinely meet God and be saved. That's the ultimate goal. If we want people to get saved, we need to do what the Bible says, and we need God's help to do it. We need to surrender totally to His Spirit. And if we all do that, we will be on the same page. We will be like-minded, and we will protect the unity of the body of Christ and protect the unity here at Oak Grove. And then when division tries to come up together, we will lovingly help that person not be that way. And we won't have to have the harsh conflicts that sometimes churches will fall into. Look at y'all. Amen. He's at the last slide. We need to be the front runners at thinking about the church and membership of church, membership in the church, as not about being a member of the local congregation, but being a member of the body of Christ. And let that dictate how we behave as a congregation. Then we will be able to respect one another, love one another, encourage one another, help one another, pray for one another, hold each other accountable, right? It's a hard thing to do to hold someone else accountable. It's even harder when someone else is holding you accountable. Because we're all stubborn and we don't want to admit we made mistakes. We don't want to admit that we actually chose to do something wrong. Because not every sin is a mistake, by the way, in case you didn't know that. When we sin, we deliberately disobey. The good news is, this is all what Jesus died for. This is all what salvation is about. This is all for me and you to be reconciled to God and be united with God. If you read the Gospel of John, and I'm going to close up with this, if you read the Gospel of John, you will find a prayer that Jesus said. Jesus talked to our Father our Creator, and he prayed for me and for you. Can't even hardly read it without choking up, because he prayed that we, the people that God created, would be one with him as he is one with the Father. Isn't that a great prayer? And then he went and died on the cross because he knew that that's what made it happen. That's what opened the door for that prayer to be answered. All because God loves you. Not because any of us deserve it. And I'm going to tell you something. James says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful. I don't know anyone more righteous than Jesus. And if Jesus talks to God and says he wants us to be united with him, I can't see how God doesn't answer that prayer. And the answer comes on the cross. So now it's our responsibility to protect the answer to that prayer. At all cost, be united. At all cost. That means sometimes I just don't get my way. Sometimes I have to love people that don't love me. Sometimes I have to let people disagree with me. Sometimes I have to be long-suffering with people who maybe treat me poorly and aren't there yet where they can be united with others. We're all in different places. That's the gospel message. If you're not saved, now's the time. Ain't no point in waiting around. Ain't no point in going home and thinking about it. You don't have to totally wrap your mind around everything that Jesus did on the cross. You just need to know that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody in this room, everybody in this world is in the same boat. All it takes is for you to say, you know what? I believe this is true, and I don't want to be a rebel against God. I don't want to offend God anymore. Peter led us into what to do. Confess that Jesus is the Christ. Repent of your sinful ways. And then be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then you and I together, and after that, are united in Christ. Isn't it great? And if you're not saved, if you haven't done that, you're not united with Christ right now. Not because God doesn't want you to be, it's because you haven't decided to be united with him. You haven't accepted that gift. Doesn't matter if you know about Jesus. Doesn't matter if you come to church. It doesn't matter anything other than have you done what God has laid out to do to be united with him. He wants you to be united with him. That's what it's all about. That's what evangelism is all about. Telling the world you can be united with God. There's nothing greater in the world. We're going to pray. Got a decision to make. You want to come down here? You want to get saved? We can baptize you. We can have a good old time. You want some prayer about anything? Come down here and we'll just take care of it. You ready to sing? Let's do it. Stand together.